Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Well, has the London hoodoo finally been laid to rest after Millwall? We can only hope, because we've got obviously that game against Chelsea coming up very shortly. And to talk about that and, of course, his thoughts on the upcoming game against Rotherham, it's Sean Rye. How are you, Sean?
Hi, Alexia. I'm good, thank you.
Two good results, one slightly iffy in terms of Aston Villa, but did you really want to go against Chelsea again? I mean, you know, you can't have too much of Chelsea in terms of the next stage. So, you know, clearly it needed to be sorted through on that side of things. Happy, contented, a little bit anxious. What are your thoughts?
A little bit of all of the above, I think. I think we can't complain too much about the Christmas period. I think Rotherham aside, obviously we'll come on to that facing them next. Apart from that little blip and that frustration, I thought we had a good period considering the squad that we had available. And I think both cup games really showcased what we're about, and we gave a good account of ourselves.
Obviously, we spoke at the last podcast about the arrival of Mr. Azaz. But since then, Luke Ayling's obviously been signed. A good signing, do you feel?
Yeah, I do think it's a good signing. I think he's one of those players that a lot of teams like to hear, if you like, which is normally a good sign that they're a very tough professional and a difficult player to play against. And I think it's been sensible from Middlesbrough that we're all aware of this recruitment drive that they have in bringing in young assets that are possible, saleable assets in the future. But they've been sensible in the fact that they've identified with this young squad a little bit like when the academy products came through a few years ago with the likes of Downing and Morrison coming through with Boateng and other such pros in the team as well. I think it's really important that we have those experienced heads. And Luke really showed that, I think, in the Millwall game. He was a little bit rusty, but you could just see that his organisation, his communication, talking constantly, his positional awareness. I think we've maybe missed one or two players like that. And I think the likes of Housen will also benefit from not sort of carrying the burden of that every game. So, yeah.
And let's talk Millwall, because obviously initial disappointment after the 10 minutes lead that Millwall actually took, but then it was all settled by Engel, Jones and Force. Is it one of those crucial games that we look at it now, or we may look at it at the end of the season and say, well, okay, it's got us another 3 points. We're just a point adrift of Coventry in sixth place at this particular point. But was it a case of it actually proved, as I said at the start, that maybe that London hoodoo, isn't really great in terms of, no wins in the last eight matches on the road, could have been actually addressed?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's difficult to say now whether it'll be pivotal or meaningful, but I'm sure Michael Carrick learned quite a lot about his players then, because, you know, in games gone by, in weeks gone by, we may have felt sorry for ourselves a little bit. I mean, Millwall were really in our face in the first half, and they did get a lot of chances, but we stuck with it. As Carrick often alludes to, we trusted our quality, we kept going. And with the players coming back, we now have a bench where, you know, we had Hackney and Force and the likes of Lewis O'Brien available to bring on, which is such a big difference in depth with maybe not the upper echelon of the teams in the league, but certainly it's relative to the Championship. It's a very good squad depth when everybody's fit, I think. So, yeah, it was great to break that hoodoo, and who knows, it might just give them the sort of added impetus to go into that game on Tuesday night. And if we can pinch an early goal, anything can happen.
We've spoken about the possibility of a Middlesbrough-Fulham Carabao Cup final, which would be particularly interesting, given, of course, both Fulham and Middlesbrough had their adventures in Europe as well a couple of decades ago. So there is a certain sort of symmetry to that. And although it's fair to say Liverpool Chelsea fans will probably have other ideas, both games are pretty much in the balance. I mean, we said it's only half time. Let's talk Fulham-Liverpool to start off with in terms of that side of things there. Do you feel as though that's a possibility? Because Fulham have kind of run Liverpool close a number of times this season without necessarily getting any reward.
Well, they have, and you're quite right to say that. I mean, when Middlesbrough got through to the, I think it was the 98 Cup Final, and we played Liverpool over two legs, we were actually 2-1 down in the first leg away, and Fulham similar, and I think it's a decent position to be in. They're only a goal behind, and Fulham are one of those teams, as you alluded to, really, that there's a few teams in the Premier League that when they turn up, they can really give teams, a good go. The likes of Fulham and Palace, sometimes you don't really, they're a bit of an unknown entity in which team's going to turn up. So I think there's a real possibility. And obviously, as we know, the longer the games go on, when the onus is on that team to win, the pressure starts to, and they start wondering, if they have to take the next chance and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a real possibility, stranger things have happened.
Well, let's turn to Todd Bowley's team, as I like to refer to them, in terms of the sequence. I think, obviously, Pochettino is trying to put his stamp on them. Lots of finance there, lots of potential talent. Do you feel Barrow have got what it takes? Given, of course, Cole Palmer was somewhat wasteful in the first leg,
Yeah.
that presumably he'd be looking to at least put one of those chances away.
Well, I was talking about it earlier to somebody, and I don't imagine Cole Palmer will have a worse game in front of goal. So we've got to be very mindful of it. I mean, we've seen when Middlesbrough lined up against Leicester that their man marks their danger man. Is there a possibility that Carrick goes man for man on Palmer and snuffs him out as the danger man and puts Howison on him? Maybe. I mean, they've got an absolute abundance of talent in that squad, so realistically, it might be a bit naive to just single out one. But I do think if anybody, I think Cole Palmer is probably the one that is most likely at this time to unlock the defence. So it wouldn't be a massive shock to me. But I just think if we can start the game really well, good tempo, keep it tight, and again, like I say, if we, for whatever reason, it'll be a big ask, but if we were to pinch a goal in the tie, then the pressure really does shift heavily to Chelsea. So yeah, cautiously optimistic, I think.
Well, again, that's probably the best way to actually ensure that we have positivity going for that webview. So let's go for predictions. First of all, let's do Borough at home to Rotherham United. I mean, we haven't really spoken about Rotherham. Clearly, they had a result against us earlier in the season. They are in their traditional battle against relegation from the championship, of course, a position that in the early part of the season, Borough fans thought we might be in as well. But what, do you think this is going to be a relatively straightforward 2 or 3 nil victory for Borough?
I hope so. There's obviously a bit of jeopardy when we speak about that we should dispatch teams in that way, but and we did for the most part played quite well, I think, against them, albeit weren't at our best, but we had a Stonewall penalty waved away and we had that freakish sort of cross come shot in the top corner that I think was the only shot that they had on goal for the full 90. But so yeah, we do owe them one, and I think this is our opportunity to really kick on. We're getting closer to the pack now, and I think Carrick will be keen to sort of get 3 points on that one.
And go on, I'll throw it in as well. What's your prediction for the Carabao Cup semi-final? Let's do both. Let's do Fulham, Liverpool, and Chelsea, Borough.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that Fulham Liverpool goes to extra time. I think it'll be a tight affair. Against my better nature, I hope I'm wrong. I think Liverpool will have enough ultimately. For us, I'm gonna go 1-1, which will obviously send us through, but I can't not be positive, so everything
Absolutely.
crossed.
Yeah, indeed. So the Carabao Cup final could well be in our sights, which would obviously be after that traditional kickoff of 12 noon on the 4th of February, where we take on board Sunderland once again. There we are. That's another line entirely. We're going to find out what the rest of the team that thinks now. Sean Rye, we salute you. Keep on keeping on, and obviously up the Borough.
Bob the Borough, thank you very much.
Well, thanks to Sean Rye for his perceptive comments as ever. We now have, as promised, the full Flying to the Moon team who've actually been limbering up. They're all set and ready to actually continue the let's smash this London hoodoo once and for all scenario. Isn't that right, Rob Nichols?
There was no London hoodoo last week, Alex, when we beat Millwall.
Exactly. That's my
Just say
point.
it,
It's
just say
gone.
it.
It has been sorted out, and clearly we have nothing to fear about Stamford Bridge at all because beating Millwall 3-1 after having conceded the first goal, proving that maybe, as I say, we are in for a fun January. Robert, when last we spoke, of course, we had the FA Cup
and the Carabao Cup. We didn't really want another tie with Chelsea, did we? Let's face it.
You know, it was a really good performance against Aston Villa, though, and I think it gave everybody hope of what we could do in the midweek against Chelsea. There was a great deal of luck about Aston Villa's goal that separated us right at the end, and I think at a time when the club was like beset with injury problems and suspensions and things like that, it was just brilliant the way that we all came together to sort of go head to head against arguably the form team in the Premier League at that point, Aston Villa. But then we took it to a different level against Chelsea, and of course we've got that lead going into the second leg. I think our experience, Chris and me, from old hands going back to the 90s and the European ties, is that when you've got a two-legged affair, you stay in it after the first leg. You want to make sure that you can still compete, and we did more than that because we've got a lead going into Chelsea. And we're going to make it tough for them. And with 4,000 fans going down there, shouting and screaming for Borough, then hopefully it's going to be, it's not going to be a walk in the park for them. But before that, Alex, we got Rotherham, of course.
Well, we will be talking about Rotherham, but I just wanted to actually address that. And again, echoing Sean's earlier comments about how unlikely Cole Palmer will miss as many sort of open chances as perhaps he did at the Riverside, but it is looking healthy. I mean, Thomas, briefly, are you cautiously optimistic? Because that seemed to be Sean's take on the whole thing, as far as the Carabao is concerned.
I think that like Rob was saying there, when it's a two-legged affair, you just want to stay in the tie, and we've more than done that. I mean, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday. It may be a very different match, but most importantly, we've ensured that it's going to go to that second leg. I think we do need to be cautiously optimistic, because in some ways it reminded me a little bit of those FA Cup games a couple of years ago with Man United and Tottenham, where it felt like both those teams had a particular off day that we took advantage of. And you know that when it comes to Premier League teams, those sorts of days aren't going to come around very often. But of course, we just have to hope that they come along two in a row, really, because Chelsea haven't had a fantastic season so far, and so there's no reason to think that they're going to suddenly turn it on and roll us over. So I think that we do just need to be cautiously optimistic and make the most of this opportunity, which, after all, it's a huge, huge opportunity to get to a final.
Chris, we were talking earlier with Sean about obviously Borough Fulham opportunities that we've got there. Would you like to have any thoughts about whether you can see Fulham, who have become very close over the last couple of matches with Liverpool, to actually getting one over them? Do you think that could be there? And wouldn't it be a nice symmetry, given, of course, Fulham's other experiences in Europe are very much echoing Middlesbrough the season after?
Absolutely. I think both of the Carabao Cup ties are very much open at the moment. And they're both like very tough to call, really. And obviously, me and Rob can remember this one, it would bring back memories of our very first domestic trophy, and some people have forgotten it, the Anglo-Scottish Cup in 1975. So it'd be nice to revisit that one.
I was there. Now,
yes, me too.
A clear sort of triumph, hailed up very much as the ideal before, of course, the defeat of Bolton in the 21st century.
So I'm very probably to echo Sean's comments, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think we've got the traffic delay out the way after delay on with the Millwall game, because obviously, like, going back to our League Cup semi-final in 1976, I think it really caught us on the hop. Having a sort of a traffic delay, and I think it does unsettle the team, unsettle the squad, and obviously
you're heading to London as opposed to Manchester. I mean, all you've got is to worry about the Ulez zone, basically, and who knows what could happen on that basis, but still. I'm not sure whether we've got Jenny with us at present. We do seem to have a soul who hasn't unmuted. Jenny, if you are there, if you would like to unmute, that'd be wonderful. If not, we'll just presume we've actually got a silent attendee, maybe somebody from Taiwan. I don't know. Robert, let's talk Rotherham. I tend to think this could well be a relatively straightforward 2-0 or 3-0 victory, or am I being too optimistic?
You are, because that's what everyone thought going into the Boxing Day game. And we absolutely, well, we hammered them throughout the game, but we didn't put our chances away. We obviously should have had a penalty. It was an absolutely atrocious decision. And they went up the other end and scored with a cross, a mishit cross that went into the goal. But that's what happens when you don't take it, when you don't take your chances. So no, we cannot take it for granted at all. We certainly owe them from that, because as I said, it was such a one-sided game. It was quite ridiculous. But then a couple of days later, we went to Huddersfield, and there was certainly like a third of that match where Huddersfield were absolutely all over us. And you could also talk about Millwall. Probably not helped, as Chris said, by the fact that we got there so late and the kickoff had to be delayed. But we were really slow out of the blocks against Millwall. They were 1-0 up. They had a chance to go 2-0 up. And they, for 30 minutes, it was a bit of siege on our box, really. So, you know, it goes both ways. But no, I don't think we can take it for granted that we're going to hammer Rotherham 3-0. And equally, we must have our minds on that game and not on the game on Tuesday. And that's why I said to you when you were talking about Chelsea, let's talk about Rotherham first.
And in addition to that, of course, not only Finn Azaz, but also Luke Ayling, who apparently is adding much needed experience to the back four. A good signing, do you think, Rob?
Yeah. Yes, he does bring a lot of a wealth of experience at this level and above it. And yes, it was becoming a problem position, not least because everyone who put on the right back shirt promptly got injured and long-term injured. So he can build something along that wing and maybe build a relationship with Isaiah Jones. He showed in the Millwall match that he could also cross the ball as well. He put in a real shift. And he could hardly walk. Never mind run at the end of the game. But both him and Azaz showed plenty of promise and character in that game. So I think yes, very good signings. We're just hoping, Alex, that we don't lose any players with the news that we've had this last couple of days.
Yes, of course, Hayden Coulson has gone to Blackpool, who were very unlucky, I felt, not to actually get a result in their replay.
Yeah.
But obviously, things tend to move. Let's turn again to Thomas. Lots of chat about new signings, way things are actually going. You said cautiously optimistic. Do you feel that Rotherham is something that, I mean, ultimately, we're a point below sixth place now. It's a very concertinaed division, as we knew it would be from that point of view. Do you think that this is, given the choice, you'd go for 3 points against Rotherham and carry on with the promotion push?
Yes, well, I mean, I hope you're not asking me if I would choose a win over Rotherham versus a win over Chelsea. I think even the most pragmatic of Borough fans wouldn't be so Scrooge-like as to deny us a League Cup final over that. But I think the Millwall performance reminded us all just of how up for grabs, I think even me, to be honest, how up for grabs this season is. I think I was feeling a little bit post-Christmas as if it was possibly starting to slip away from us. But I think, actually, like you say, given how concertinaed it is at the top, we really do have an excellent chance. So, we you know, of course, there are always people who are a bit, you know, less fond of the cups that are going to make arguments that you really need to prioritise your league form or that the cups can hinder your league form. But we need to prove that that's not going to be the case, and hopefully two wins in a few days will do that.
Chris, again, the traditional Middlesbrough collapse was almost something that almost became traditional with respect to Arsenal's spring season collapse. Do you feel as though Michael Carrick is a person who will prevent that happening and certainly is, given that Jose Mourinho is now available, still the best man for the job?
Absolutely. I think We're getting a few new faces in, and obviously there's people coming back from, fairly long-term injuries. I think there's a kind of it's a different situation the last season. I think there's a lot of kind of freshness about the squad. I know when you sort of you've got the sort of dangling the carrot of a big semi-final and everything. I think everyone wants to play in those games, but because there is people cup-tied as well, he's managing to still involve all the squad, so there'll be people who can play tomorrow that won't be able to play in Chelsea, which is kind of it's a really good situation to be in at the moment, I think. There's the it is always a worry when the sort of the Morgan Rodgers situation, which I wasn't aware about until today, that people are interested in your players because I don't know. It can't do anything but unsettle certain situations. But hopefully, if he, I don't know what the player thinks about it. I don't know what the club situation is. But we really just want to be totally focused on the Carabao Cup and our sort of championship campaign. So I hope it's resolved one way or another quite quickly, really.
Rob, I don't think we've got the audio from the press conference for this particular Fly Me to the Moon, but have you spoken to Michael Carrick as yet? What's his general take on how things are progressing?
I was a victim, Alex, of a road closure. The A66, Darlington bypass was closed just as I got there, and it opened a few minutes later, and that window of opportunity slipped away. So I just missed the press conference. I had to wait around because I was being interviewed by the Chinese, and he told me that that Michael Carrick was sort of quite sort of emotionless or whatever, but as in he
Is he
wasn't winning
actually seeing
points.
this ultimately, the games against Rotherham and Chelsea, as the precursors to beating Sunderland 4-0 again for the first match in February? Is that the ultimate end game, do you think?
Maybe. Well, I can tell you there's another press conference on Sunday. They're taking no chances. They're obviously going to London very early this time and making sure that they get to the ground really early. But Alex, Villa have put a bid in for Morgan Rodgers, who of course couldn't play in the first leg, and he will be available in the second leg. It's a really bizarre situation, really, because we signed him for about £1 million from Manchester City. You've heard of that small club, and then
Yes, soon doubtless to be playing in the National League if other rumours would sort of have it from that point of view. And we get docked a
It's a
thousand
bizarre,
points.
that's right. It's a bizarre scenario for him because if Villa sign him, it's presumably the club signs him. We know they're on a financial fair play knife edge, like a lot of clubs, like Manchester City. I got a tip off from Henry Winter, a national journalist. He told me that he thought that Emery doesn't really like to play the younger kids. He likes the, although he obviously has some young players in his squad doing really, really well, but he doesn't want to promote players from within. So you'd think that Morgan Rodgers would be getting bought by the club. And wouldn't necessarily, so he might go back into the same sort of situation that he was at Manchester City. But yeah, as Chris said, we've had major experience before in the past when we were going into a European final and our manager was leaving straight after it. So you don't want your top scorer in the competition being unsettled on the verge of a match. But so we're hoping that we come through this transfer window without losing too many people. I think the same with Hayden Hackney. It's better for him to be playing in the first team and playing under Michael Carrick. But yeah, as you were saying, they're always the two warm-up matches for the Sunderland game. Yeah, that's it's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
Maybe takes a bit of the pressure off, perhaps, in terms of the system
Yeah,
from that point of view.
exactly.
Thomas, let's go to your good self in terms of, yes, those immortal predictions. Any thoughts on Rotherham first and foremost before we start talking about Chelsea?
Yeah, well, I think in the last podcast, I can't quite remember whether or not I predicted a defeat for a 1-0 defeat against Villa or against Chelsea. So I was either extremely accurate and pragmatic or I was almost
I think
too
it was
cautious
Villa, if
on that
memory
one.
serves. I think you actually
It
got
was
the Villa
Villa.
score
Okay,
right.
there we go. So I took a bold risk in predicting the defeat on the podcast, and it paid off. But yeah, I'm not going to make the same prediction for Rotherham. And I think we're going to learn our lessons from past troubles with Rotherham.
Yeah,
Hopefully,
just
it's a
a bit
solid
off
2-0.
microphone there for a moment, Thomas. It's okay. You're back now.
Okay, yeah, yeah, a 2-0 win hopefully for Rotherham.
Two nil
Against
again.
Rotherham for
Yes,
us.
yes. I think Rotherham would be astounded to actually sort of get that particular result. It would be a double smash and grab. And Chris?
I think it will be 3-1 to Middlesbrough. I think, like Rob said, we won't by any means, particularly after playing them so recently and having a hatful of chances and not converting them. I don't think we'll take anything for granted, but I think the memory of that with it being quite recently will make us quite determined to convert those chances and get a good win going into the Chelsea game. So 3-1.
Robert, since last we spoke, of course, another sad passing. Keith Lamb has left us and moved into the grand scheme of the sky and various other sort of things there. It's really impossible to underestimate just what a useful source of success he was in terms of advising both Steve Gibson and so on, and obviously being part of arguably Bury's most successful period.
Yes, chief executive, right the way through from a period where we left Ayresome Park in the Riverside. I remember interviewing him for the first time at Ayresome Park, and he showed me the structural damage to the old North Stand, the 1903 stand, and said, "Look, we just can't patch this together anymore." And so he was chief executive through that. That was a big thing moving because it was we were the biggest club, and it was the biggest ground move post-war. And then, of course, he's the chief executive through that the Brian Robson revolution, the Juninho times, and filling that big stadium, the cup finals. He was also the chief executive through the 3 points debacle that played a part in us getting relegated. But we were like, it was it we were big news, weren't we? But for all that period, And the amount of massive transfers that he handled, and worldwide transfers as well, flying out to Brazil and bringing in players from other players from South America, Hamilton Ricard. I was interviewing him again when he was talking on the telephone to Brian Robson, who was in South America signing Hamilton Ricard. He was on the other end of the phone. He was like, "Switch your tape recorder off now." And he was getting Hamilton Ricard, and at the same time we signed Marco Branca, on more or less the same week. It was top player from Italy, so we were getting incredible players, and the kind of the terms in their contracts. It must have been incredibly complicated. The club having gone from a small club to competing and out competing with major, getting scoops of players that were the European champions and world, world, some of the world's best players. So yes, big loss. And of course, he went on to work for the Football League and the FA after Middlesbrough. So Keith, rest in peace.
Yes, I was talking to an Everton supporter, Mark Q, who was saying, "So what happened to Ayresome Park? Is there an Emerson Avenue?" I pointed out there's been an Emerson Avenue in Middlesbrough for quite some time before Emerson actually joined. But he was also keen to see whether
Yes.
indeed there was a Juninho Close or Ravanelli Road as well. I think that might happen, but not at present, shall we say? But I did cite in terms of how it was going. I mean, Chris, memories there. From a period where Thomas would probably just have been, literally not conscious of the sort of notions that were actually there from that point of view. Does it take you back with a nostalgia, or do you think that, it was a case of, well, maybe it was too much too soon?
Yeah, I think with that kind of transfer over from Ayresome Park to the Riverside, we had a fantastic stadium, but we didn't have the training facilities. And I think with some of the European players, I know particularly Ravanelli, like kind of voiced his objections when he turned up at training one day and the gates were locked. So I think it was in terms of the infrastructure a little bit too too much too soon. Not, I mean, the stadium was fantastic, but you know, it's a pity the training facilities maybe come a little bit after. I don't know whether that would have you know, affected the outcome of what happened in 97, but yeah, I think the infrastructure was just running a little bit behind, you know, the fantastic stadium we got, really.
And Thomas, as a historian, would it be something which you'd sort of look at and you think, yeah, maybe we can recapture those moments again?
Well, I mean, it's always a very difficult thing to try to use history or the past to try to inform future actions, not least given the sort of circumstances we're in now, both in Britain and the world. Not to get into that, but yeah, I mean,
It's fair enough to say that we've just had the NATO representative of the Netherlands say we should all prepare to be mobilized and ready to go to war with Russia in the next 20 years. So, you know, on that basis alone, we need to sort of obviously keep perspective on these things.
Yeah, let's hope we can make another cup final at least before then, eh? Yeah, I mean, it was sad news. I think obviously everyone, well, not everyone, but most people credit Steve Gibson with, you know, really keeping, well, taking the club to a whole new level, not only saving the club, but taking the club to a whole new level. But you can't forget Keith Lamb's role in all of that, as Rob says, right through from those liquidation days to into the Ayresome Park move. And then obviously into the exciting times of the late 90s, early noughties, when we were signing some great players. And then obviously also as well later into relegation and making sure that the club was in a strong position. So yeah, I mean, he, you know, he, like I say, he played a key role in all of that, and I think it's important to remember his contribution, and obviously as we hope that better days are ahead.
Absolutely. And sustainability, of course, the buzzword from that point of view. Okay, Rob, your plan basically, will it be a case of after Rotherham you'll be heading down to London for the trip to Stamford Bridge?
I might leave it a bit later than the team. I'll be traveling down on Tuesday, but I'll make sure I get there in good time. Yeah,
And your
but
predictions?
there's a press conference to go to first on Sunday,
Of
so it'll be
course.
quite interesting. It'd be interesting to see how many people, how many, what sort of media presence there is, because it is a Sunday. But I wonder if there'll be any national people there and stuff like that. So, but the whole thing. The whole thing's going to be really, really exciting, and it's great that we've got a 1-0 lead, and yeah, hope that stays the same throughout, because that's
Okay,
how
Rob.
it, as we said, I think we might have said last time when we played them in the playoffs, that's what we did. We defended our lead successfully to the end.
And indeed, the Battle of Stamford Bridge was a place
Yeah.
that I was actually at back in the day, where those were the times where Thomas, there were various dart boards not present, but darts being hurled at various other sort of folk, etc. It was a hectic time, should we say, especially when as I found myself sitting with the Chelsea supporters. But there we are, so it goes. It was an interesting time. Your
Well, we'd
predictions,
rather
Rob?
not have a repeat of that, Alex.
No, I suspect that won't be on the agenda. But in
Yeah.
terms of the Rotherham game, Rob, let's talk about that first. Any thoughts? Are you going for 3-1, 2-0, 1-0, or just a win?
I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to properly avenge that defeat on Boxing Day, and just as the lads have said, to set ourselves up for the Chelsea game. But also because we need to start winning home games in the league. We've let a few points slip, and it's there's so many teams involved in that, in the battle for the playoffs, that we need a kind of a bit of momentum now, don't we?
Well, there is the
And
run. I
even
mean,
then,
we spoke earlier about the concertina effect with Sean,
yeah.
and when you bear in mind that Coventry in sixth position on 40 points, Middlesbrough in 10th position on 39 points,
Yeah.
you shouldn't really rule out even Bristol City on 36
No.
points. And certainly they'll be buoyed by their FA Cup form, etc. Cardiff City,
That's true.
38, Norwich City, 38, etc. You're literally talking about any group from Southampton, maybe just going over the hill and far away. Leeds United, 51 points, but certainly for the positions 5 and 6, West Brom right the way down to Bristol City in 14th, conceivably actually are in with a shout of working through that. So, as you say, Rob, a few wins and looking. I know we'll be looking at this in greater detail ahead of the Sunderland game, but yeah. The February fixture list is home to Sunderland, home to Bristol City, away to Preston North End, and away to Leicester City. Arguably, I'm finishing off on the 24th February with a home game against Plymouth Argyle. Now, the first four of those are four wins, and suddenly I think you're talking serious promotion, or at least playoff contenders.
Well, if you win the last of those against Leicester City, then you certainly put yourself in the frame, because that's quite a daunting fixture. And I guess Preston made that fantastic start and they've wobbled since. So it's the kind of early season momentum that Preston had is what every team in that you've just named, you just read out in the middle of the table, that's what they all dream of, isn't it? Consistency is the word.
It's all about consistency and that well-known player, Momentum, as opposed to Mo Salah, who obviously is doing his own thing with respect to the African Cup of Nations. Indeed.
Yes.
I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will be delighted about that, but or maybe not. That's another line for another time. Very briefly, Rob, your thoughts on Liverpool-Fulham? Or is it something which doesn't really enter the equation at this particular stage? Do you think Fulham could actually do it? And as Chris was saying, we could have a repeat of the Anglo-Saxon Cup final of 1976.
Anglo-Scottish,
indeed.
It was Anglo-Saxon because it was versus Fulham in the final. Yeah. Well, hopefully not. A repeat of the result? An own goal? That was why it was. I don't know. I don't know. I think Liverpool came back so strongly in that game. But yeah, it's a Liverpool without Mo Salah, and if his injuries, it could be without Mo Salah for a while, so that weakens them. But yeah, I don't know. We'll take. Basically, we just want to beat Chelsea, don't we? That's the all and end all, really.
There you go. That's the summation. Anything else, Rob, you want to add in terms of other events or things that you got lined up? And when is the next Fly Me to the Moon magazine going to be released? Is it going to be ahead of the Sunderland game, or are you holding off until Plymouth Argyle?
No, it'll be ahead of the Sunderland game. It has to be that weekend, which is also a green football weekend. So that's something that's happening right across the Football League and the Premier League. And at Middlesbrough, have been meeting with the football club about what we can do as a football club. And there'll be an appeal going out for people to take electronic goods and things like that that you normally can't take to charity shops or anything like that, that just so they can be recycled. There's also going to be a push to try and get to promote things like the vegetarian foods that are on sale at the Riverside, show people where they can actually park their bikes at the Riverside, because I don't think it's mentioned on the website, but you can. And then to try and start off things like fans thinking about car sharing and public transport and things like that for the future. So it's kind of it's a starting point, and we're hoping that we can get people like maybe players to submit a vegetarian recipe or something like that. So, you know, it's thinking in green terms in a big way, but that how everyone can contribute. And this year's green football is looking at vegetarian food as part of that.
Well, just as long as we don't actually want to use the kind of form that Forest Green are currently employing now that Troy Deeney's actually gone, because that's not necessarily a good place to actually hold up in terms of a side that is obviously very committed, I think still actually holds the record as being the greenest football club in the
league
from that point of view. So it's there. Okay, finally, Thomas, your prediction for the Chelsea game?
Oh, this is very, very difficult.
Nothing to worry about with Raheem Sterling. He'll have sort of passed his sell by date. It's Conor Gallagher, probably, if he Cole Palmer, well, who knows?
I am going to say 0-0, and therefore 1-0 on aggregate.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is willing on a very nervy match, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chris, would you agree with that, or are you going to be more positive?
Well, I'm going to out nail bite Thomas on this one by saying it's going to be 1-0 to Chelsea, and it's going to go all the way to penalties. And I think Middlesbrough are going to do it. I think Chelsea's nerves won't hold. So I think it's going to be a
Well,
long night for everybody.
specifically with respect to Maurizio Pochettino, I mean, he worries at the best of times, basically, probably burst into tears. But still, that's particularly now that Jose Mourinho is available again. And Rob.
I have a feeling it'll go to extra time, and I can see what Chris is saying because we've seen the penalty shootouts in recent times at obviously at Old Trafford, Chris Wilder, and even at Anfield with Aitor Karanka, and those penalty shootouts seemed to go on forever, didn't they? They were, but I'm hoping that I'm taking it go to extra time and that we'll hit them on the break in extra time, but. Yeah, I think it's going to be a very nervy affair, but if we're all correct and we actually win in the end, then it'll make it a very memorable night.
There you go. And how can people actually subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, Rob?
If you go to many matches have we got left now? We've got February, March, April. We've got four left, haven't we? I'll have to work out a new figure then. You have to do the calculations each time a match goes, but if you go to fmtcmborough.com and click on subscribe, then I'll work something out after this, how much it costs for four games.
Well, sadly, I don't think we managed to connect with Jenny in the end. I think she tried to get through but didn't. Possibly it's because of the result of the Millwall system, because obviously she did have contacts in Millwall. Not that she was a Millwall fan, so that might have been
That could
the
be,
problem. It
yeah.
was she was blanketed out from that point of view. But certainly thanks to Sean Rye early in the program at the start of the piece, to Thomas Bartley, to Chris Bartley, and of course to Rob Nichols. It's his show after all. It's time, Rob, for the final time before the game against Rotherham before the Carabao Cup final, second leg, semi-final against Chelsea to utter those final words. Rob, over to you. After three. One, two, three.
Come on, Borough.
On Borough. Up the Borough.
Up the
Up the
Borough.
Borough.